I'm curious in that, to follow that all year long, as long as the Patriots are relevant. What's he talking about? What's he saying? You said, Keith, your immediate reaction when he was citing Madden rankings there.
Love it.
Not exactly Bill Belichick at the podium.
No, you wouldn't hear that from Bill, although he immediately worked for a fantasy football company after he hated fantasy football
this
for years.
This is true. So maybe now, Bill he's now does... in these spots in these ads, yeah.
He might be aware of the Madden ratings now, for all we know. But he does.
I looked it up. Kenneth Walker, 88.
88's not bad, but definitely
it's a good Madden ranking.
After week one, though, you can maybe boost it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They live update these things.
That's true.
So Kenneth Walker, yeah, he's a good back. He's not in that top 10 group. But neither was Ramondre Stevenson at the start, right? He was kind of pushed down those rankings. But, yeah, he's solid. They do have two good wide receivers. But it's also a very beatable team. Like, when we were going through the schedule before the year, before we even saw the win over Cincinnati, Seattle was one of a handful of games I thought that was kind of a 50-50. Like, all right, if they're going to win some games, the Seahawks is one of them. Also, a battle of two rookie coaches, which is fun because it could have been Belichick and Carroll, the two oldest coaches.
Yeah, but very, they both could have been very out. Different. That's true.
Yeah, they both went completely different directions.
So a few other things. They're going to name practice players of the week after wins.
Yeah, we can probably skip that.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder how much people appreciate that. Maybe the players appreciate it, though.
Joe Milton and Kayshon Booty on there.
It goes back to these two dichotomies with Mayo where it's like he's a player's coach. We've labeled him a player's coach. But then he's also talking about the conditioning. Your mind's going to give up before your body. Yep. Take him to the hill is something the players were saying. Take him out to deep water. These are all comments he just had. They're conditioning. Like, they were a well-conditioned fourth quarter team that was still buzzing around for 1 week against Cincinnati.
Well,
where the Patriots couldn't finish games with Bill Belichick. So, I don't know. Maybe we've been unfair labeling him a player's coach. That jumps out to me when he's talking over and over again about conditioning and how hard we're going to practice. That's not a player's coach.
No, because he also pushed back on that a couple of weeks ago. Right? The player's coach comes across as like, you know, letting the guys off easy, you know, not pushing them, not running, not conditioning, like all that. Like the players can do and say whatever the hell they want. And maybe it's not as disciplined. So you kind of push back on that. But the players can still like you. The players can want to play for you. But you can also be a tough coach. And it's funny, even we were talking about the dynasty earlier because of all the Robert Kraft stuff. But, you know, there were a lot of different interviews that a lot of different players did when they were talking about Gerard Mayo. Actually, you know, it wasn't the dynasty. It was some other feature that came up around that same time where they were referring to Mayo as sort of like mini Belichick, like as a player, right?
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, like this guy is just like all the players, like Matt Light kind of like clowning on him a little bit. Because on any team that you're on, there are certain guys that are like, want to do more conditioning than others. They're like, this is what we're going to need. And there are other guys being like, oh my God, like, can we be done with this? So I'm guessing Mayo was one of those guys that was, as a player, kind of leading from the front, being like, hey, we need to put in the work now in order to get the results later, which is not the mentality of every player, but it probably is the right mentality for the players that become head coaches.
A couple other items. He said Javon Baker doesn't want to get into why he wasn't active for the game.
No.
Although he did says he has to continue to develop.
So this one you could read either way. The Instagram Live thing may have cost him the game on Sunday, but also, he might be last on the depth chart. Like, there's six wide receivers on the team. Five of them were active, and only four played. But if I was going to ask you right now, like, rank those guys in order, or at least the order you think the Patriots have them in, I bet Baker is sixth.
Yeah, I would have had him ahead of Kayshon Booty, but
so
we're nitpicking.
Maybe fifth.
Yeah, maybe. We're nitpicking at that point in time, and Booty didn't play anyway. I'm seeing now, because he's still talking, we decided to ditch out of that a little early. He did say he addressed the team about the Tyreek Hill situation.
Mm.
The captains addressed the team about it. That's all he chose to elaborate on. And then where he started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the 23rd anniversary, 23 years since 9/11. And he said this, and it's striking, that they have players on the team that are too young. I mean, I didn't even think about that. But there are he's talking to the team, and there are players on the team that weren't even alive or are too young to remember it, which does tell you. I mean, it's 23 years ago. He was talking about this. He was in high school. I was in high school. He said they took everybody to the cafeteria. I was in the cafeteria when the first plane hit. Not that we had it on the TVs or anything, but you know, my coach came in and came down. I had a study hall or whatever, and came into the cafeteria and they're like, "Hey, this is going on."
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
and we're all like, "Oh, that's crazy." You have no idea what's happening.
No.
Then I went to my next class, and then the next plane hit, and it's just it's a touchstone, obviously, for anybody who lived through it, even if you weren't directly impacted by it. But it's just wild to think about Mayo talking to some of these players who were too young or weren't even alive for 23 years ago, September 11th, which is crazy.
I mean, the last coach that was here, Bill Belichick, was the head coach of the Patriots when that happened, right? Like, that's wild to think about, but he was the coach. The 0-1 season.
Wasn't even his first year.
No, yeah. He was early in his second year as head coach.
Brady had not started a game.
Right. Like, it's wild to think about, but yeah, I was even thinking about that on the drive in today, about how many years it's been. And for anybody who's roughly our age, so you and I are both 40, we've both been alive longer post 9/11 than we were pre 9/11, which blows your mind,
because
we were
17. That is crazy. Yeah.
Or I was 17. I think you were, we were both 17. It was senior year, 2 weeks into the school year. And I remember I was sort of a different setting because I was at a prep school, but I remember being in like the math building and sitting, like nobody was really in there. There's like a couple kids and you're like, this is odd. Like usually there's a little bit more people. Then I had a girl kid, Liz Groger, who I probably haven't talked to since then, comes in and is like, a plane just like flew into the World Trade Center. And you're like, what? So then you walk out of there.
But you don't know.
No, you have no idea what that means.
That's weird, but okay. Yeah. Like, that sounds horrible, but okay.
So then we walked over
to... You don't realize the larger context.
Yeah, then it was like, they're sort of like a, I don't even know what you'd call it, sort of like a rec hall, like, you know, like a place with like pool tables and TVs and stuff like that. And so we walk in there, and it's such like a mismatched group of kids. There's like freshmen, there's seniors, there's teachers, there's coaches. Just like whoever was in that area kind of gathered around speechless, watching all of the TV footage of it. And then it was like nobody knew how to react. Also, going to St. Paul's is weird because you have a bunch of kids who are from New York City. You have a bunch of kids that you're finding out the stuff about D.C. So you have people that, you know, are from there, and everybody's trying to figure out like just all the connections that you had. So then they send everybody back to their dorms, and then they're trying to like make sense of it. School's canceled for the rest of the
day. That's what I was just going to ask. They must have sent you guys home.
I mean, home was the dorm.
Well, that's true, but you didn't have school. No, Billy, where were you? You were in high school?
So I was in college.
You were in college.
I was in college. So it was funny because I just asked Terp, like, you know, hey, where were you? He's like, I wasn't.
No, Terp is like one of the young Patriots players who wasn't alive. So I see Brian down there. No chance, Brian. Brian was one.
So I was Bunker Hill.
Yep.
USC, the University of Southern Charlestown.
Yeah.
I was walking through the cafeteria to get to the bookstore. Yep. And at that point, at one plane, it hit the building.
Yeah.
And I walked by, saw it, and God, oh, great, awesome. Somebody sent another friggin' bomb to the World Trade Center.
Yeah. Yep.
And then I was in line at the bookstore, and security came in, and he's like, drop everything you're doing and get out of here.
Really?
Yeah.
So they just sent you home on the spot.
On the spot. Security came in and cleared out the bookstore, cleared out the school. Literally, people left what they had in their hands to purchase on the ground. And then I remember being stuck in traffic trying to get out of there. No cell phone service.
You drive?
I was driving. Okay. Yeah, I was driving into. I drove into school, so I was driving back to Malden. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I did is I put Stern on. Because Howard Stern did a show. I don't even know how long he was on the air that day. But, like, cell phones weren't working, so you couldn't call your families to find out what the hell's going on. So I was getting my news from him while sitting in, like, jam traffic trying to go from Charlestown to Malden.
There's some wild stuff. I think I went back years ago and I was one of these, like, Howard Stern, like, rabbit holes. Like, listen to that. Like, that's on YouTube. Like, him reacting.
The full thing?
Yeah. Like, him reacting to it live. There's also weird clips of... And it's, I don't know, like if we were on the air, like I don't know how you even react to it, but there's like a Regis and Kelly of them doing the show live, like hearing it, like being told in their ear, like what's happening, and then them trying to like,
in New York,
talk about it.
Yeah.
They're in New York.
Yeah, right.
But then also trying to like, without having like, how many details do you have? None. You have like two, you're being told, and then you're the one delivering this, probably, I mean, I don't know how many millions of people watching that show back in the day. And there's a lot of stuff that you can go and dig through, and all the different, you know, documentaries that have been made on this that has so much footage, because we all remember sort of what like the TV cameras had, right? Like and how sickening and scary that was. But then some of these documentaries have gone, you know, like they have unearthed like everybody's footage, because like you did have camera phones then, right? It was like very early, like they weren't good, like they weren't like today's camera phones. But yeah, you saw all kinds of coverage.
So it's interesting. So you're at a prep school. Yeah. So people are boarding there. You're at college. I mean, Terp and Brian. I can't even ask them. No. They were in their cradles.
Yeah.
And so I'm at a public high school in Vermont. We just got sent home, and that's all I did. I just went home and just watched the. I don't know.
Did you have school the next day?
I don't watch the news, but I went home and just watched the news all day. My recollection is yes, I wouldn't swear by that, but I think we had school the next day. Yeah, I think so.
I think we may have. Yeah. I remember it was bizarre too, because we're taking a journalism class, and it was you like had to get the New York Times, and it was like, so we had like a week of that, and you had to get the New York Times every day, and then like comparing like the headlines. So there's that. I think I have it somewhere. It's like in giant bold letters, like the biggest letters they've ever used, I think, in the history of the New York Times. Just said like attack, like U.S. attacks or whatever, and then they like a photo of it. I mean, it's terrifying.
So 23 years ago today, and you know, Gerard Mayo addressing the team about it. He had Joe Cardona address the team about it. Mm-hmm. Joe Cardona's got two jobs. The second one's football, is what Mayo said. Some interesting stuff from the Patriots head coach today on a day where we never forget.